Well, good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here at the Fuel Ethanol Workshop. Kathy, my thoughts and prayers are with you. I'm glad you're able to tune in today. For those of you who might not be familiar with EPIC, the Ethanol Promotion and Information Council was formed in 2005. Our main mission is to increase consumer demand, mostly through education, but also targeted marketing. We're obviously helping with the fight on the public relations sector, and of course, what we're here to talk about today with market development. So I got some examples of here I think will convince you of why this topic in specifically is very important, not only to the profitability of the ethanol industry, but it's also its survival. An E85 station recently opened in Metro Atlanta in a town of Lawrenceville. This station has been open roughly 5 weeks now. As of Saturday, they were selling 1,800 gallons on average a day of E85. As a comparison, they were selling 1,750 gallons of regular unleaded on a day. So their E85 sales actually passed premium, mid-grade, and it actually over regular unleaded, and it has held at as of yesterday afternoon. If you start looking at what took place, we opened the station. We made sure that the station was properly marked, branded, and identified. We got the station notifications out to the fleets in the area. We did a pump promotion, grand opening event with dignitaries from Georgia. And the numbers continue to increase, and we think that will continue to happen. But you look at a station, one station that's been open 5 weeks will have the potential of selling 650,000 gallons of E85 a year. That's amazing. And we know that we can continue to increase those numbers as more flexible fuel vehicles are introduced. But if you just look at the approximate 1,500 public stations that are open today, that's nearly a billion gallons of potential fuel that could be sold through our already existing infrastructure. And, of course, more stations are opening each week. You've heard a 10,000 station number thrown around many times. General Motors executives have definitely thrown out the need for at least 10,000 stations. Just using those Metro Atlanta numbers, those are 6.5 billion gallons of ethanol could run through the future coming up. So what about these blender pumps? Why are they important? An example from Watertown, South Dakota. They had regular unleaded in E10, and they simply added E20, 30, 40, and E85. Their overall sales increased 32%. 32% more fuel is being sold at that station 1 year after in a comparison of month to month. Prior to install, they just sold 960 gallons of ethanol each month. After the install, they're selling more than 5,000 gallons. Obviously, this is a very small town, but the same would be true in bigger communities. This just proved that not only did the blender pump give them a standout in comparison to the big box retailers down the road, but it provided them more opportunities to sell a renewable product that was literally produced in Watertown. Our recent research just concluded last month pointed out a few things, and they quickly relate to this very topic. 45% of Americans are seeking out alternatives. They want choices, and specifically, they're looking for ethanol. 27% said that they were looking for alternatives because of the environment. Obviously, 19% said it was because of cost. Probably every day that goes by, I think today is the first day in almost 3 weeks that the national average of gasoline didn't actually go up. It went down a whole half a cent. Additional 27% wanted ethanol after reading a short paragraph about the benefits. This is key because we're continually talking about education and reaching new people. Hopefully there's several of you that are here to learn more about the industry. But the average Joe and Jane consumer wanted ethanol after reading three or four short sentences about the benefits. So in the end, what this can mean to everybody is the retailers can make more money because they're selling more fuel, and now they are standing out from the others. I was in Atlanta, Georgia last week doing some pump promotions down there for the 12 new E85 stations. And one of the station owners clearly said the reason he was talked into E85 and obviously would consider other alternatives down the road was that because this was his way to throw something out on the street that his competitors didn't have and is quickly paying off. The ethanol plants, probably what most of you are here to learn about, is they can make more money as well. Imagine being able to sell another 10 or 20% of your fuel in that local area, not having to pay the freight to the coastlines, not having to send your product out of state. All that ripple effect to the economy could be found in your local market. And, of course, the consumer, the 300 million people out there, have a choice And they know that ethanol will be there to provide it for them not only today, but tomorrow. So recent research, obviously, ACE, we'll be looking at their optimal ethanol blend level investigation that they wrapped up back in November. The three key points that I found out of that study are this, that legacy vehicles, and at least according to this research, suggests that legacy vehicles or non-flex fuel vehicles may be able to use mid-level blends. Legacy vehicles could actually see fuel economy gains while using some of the mid-level blends like E20 and E30. And lastly, flex fuel vehicles could see fuel economy gains from mid-level blends versus E85. When you talk about E85, again, I looked at all the news stories this morning about E85. The only negative thing they could come up with is that there is a loss of fuel economy, that there isn't a cost saving, so why should we switch? Well, they're forgetting, obviously, all the other benefits associated with ethanol, but most importantly, if we can find a mid-level blend that provides no loss of fuel economy, we'll not only have instant adoption from a lot of these fleets, but we'll see consumers that it just pencils out just the way they need it to in the future. I wanted to talk a little bit about a blender pump program that we launched on May 1st in the state of South Dakota. Our goal is to establish 100 blender pumps in 1 year. There are only approximately 1,100 stations in the state, if that gives you an idea of what this goal is trying to do. Thanks to the help of the South Dakota Corn Utilization Council and the ethanol plants within the state of South Dakota, we were able to launch an incentive program that will provide up to $5,000 in cash money for them to convert a pump or to add a new dispenser that will allow multiple mid-level blends to be offered. As of yesterday, we had 29 stations that have applied for funding in the first 45 days. We have another 12 that are in the process of filling out the paperwork. We're very happy to report that, you know, in the 40-plus areas, we have over 35 cities represented. This will be a good model for the rest of the country to look at, not only with sales, but with the opportunities that the retailers will be provided. We did things like send a mailer out to everyone. We wanted stations to know this was available. We obviously did a mailer to all of them to talk about all the key issues and why they should be looking at blender pumps and hopefully build a business case for that. Hopefully most of you have seen this by now. If not, please let us know. We can get you a copy of it. We launched an ethanol retailer magazine actually at the RFA conference in Orlando. This is a quarterly independent retailer magazine that goes from the ethanol industry to the retailer, telling the story that we want them to tell. Most often we found that somewhere in the middle of our voice going through the Petroleum Association, somehow the story was a little distorted by the time it got to the station owner. So we decided we would go directly to them, and 25,000 copies went out in the spring. The next issue will be going out in the next couple weeks, and one thing that we'll be doing is we'll be making the business case specifically for blender pumps to those retailers across the country. We do webinars and educational clinics. This is for E85 and blender pumps. We want to make sure that the story is told right and they hear it directly from the ethanol industry. We've had automakers, we've had service technicians, we've had ethanol plants and marketers participate in these. Once again, trying to develop those relationships so that not only is the fuel offered, but at the best price available. Within this particular program in South Dakota, these were some of the bonus areas that we allowed an additional 10% of funding to be awarded. For interstate and major highway access, fleet customers secured, we want to make sure they're reaching out to the fleets because obviously federal fleets have a little, reason to use alternative fuels, specifically E85, if they were going to help promote their own station, products displayed on the price sign, and of course, awards for stations being located in metropolitan areas. I guess that wouldn't be a metropolitan. Towns larger than 5,000 and 10,000. There are some boundaries to the program, and there are boundaries for blender pumps, and this is one of the things that will keep coming up. I just want to be very clear on it. The EPA has given guidance that blender pumps, anything above 10%, let me start that way, anything above 10% ethanol will be promoted towards flex fuel vehicles only. There is preliminary research from ACE and others. I know that Ralph and Ron will be talking about this more. But there, at this point, we don't have enough information just to open the floodgate. However, this is the same issue we've always had with E85. We point to these, and this is an example of a Gilbarco system that will be rolling out, if not delivered already in Kansas. As you can see, the E10 on the left-hand side, E20, 30, and E85 on the right, clearly different and to meet the requirements of EPA. There have been some recent developments, and this came out, I believe, Thursday afternoon, that there was some hinting from EPA that, and probably a shock to everyone in the room, the petroleum marketers are a little concerned about blender pumps being debuted across the country. Small engine manufacturers and the automakers, ironically, are a little concerned about these blender pumps being out on the street, and they want to strictly enforce the flex fuel side of the house. Like I said, this is the same issue we've had with E85 for 15 years now. This is not the end of blender pumps. This is just another curveball that continues to flow. As you saw on the previous slide, it clearly is labeled as flex fuel. We're providing additional options like this. You can see that the badges blown up a little bit are clearly identifying flex fuel, 20% ethanol for flex fuel vehicles. And, of course, the label on the right clearly should be big and bold enough for you not to grab the wrong nozzle. Can we stop people from using it? No. We can't stop people from putting diesel fuel in their gasoline engines either. The ACE publication recently released, within the last couple weeks, they put out a publication that clearly working on and helping people understand the case for blender pumps, what these mid-level blends can do. They worked through several state scenarios on the amount of volume that could be, sold through these blender pumps. We are actually partnering with ACE to send us out as a polybag mailer with the next edition of ethanol retailer that will go out in a couple weeks. Talking about the benefits, the checklist to make sure you're going through, available incentives, equipments, and, of course, best practices for success. So the opportunities, so these are some things that a lot of people don't think about. Several years ago, there were environmental concerns at gas stations, and there were several upgrades that were required. 60% of the dispensers on the street today are blender pumps. They're blending regular unleaded with premium gasoline 50-50 to make mid-grade. This is exactly the same system that we're talking about with blender pumps. This is not new technology. The only thing new is we're making it ethanol compatible. So one of the future opportunities in the same fashion is that MasterCard and Visa, the technology to provide a little security comfort for all of us with credit cards, is going to change the dispenser world as well. Before long, all of the dispensers that are currently on the street, if they're less than, say, 5 years old, will have to be replaced yet again. This is the opportunity that the ethanol industry has, that maybe 75 to 80% of all dispensers that you're used to seeing on the streets will be replaced in the next decade. Every one of those, in my opinion, should be a blender pump. So I wanted to keep this short so we could get questions at the end, and we'll definitely entertain any. Here's some general information. Of course, if you want to learn more about the specific South Dakota program, any of the publications or any of the information that we've gone over, we have someone that's administering that program. Of course, if you're interested in ethanol retailer, please reach out to these folks on the slide. And as Mick mentioned, you'll be able to pull this presentation up for some time. With that, I'll turn it back to Mick.
Okay. Thanks, Robert.